Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your main event, WrestleMania.
Yeah, that is me. That is us. How you be on a Tuesday afternoon? Good to have you with us on the Team.Eddy and the Odyssey app. We continue along till 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point. Coming up tonight in Philadelphia, the Nats try and erase the taste of a really bad Monday afternoon at the ballpark yesterday. That was ugly. Oof. Oof. Oh.
That was not good.
Tonight, Mackenzie Gore in Philadelphia. I got to double check this. I should have done it before the show. But Mackenzie Gore, in this ballpark, I remember some really, really, really rough days. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to pull it up right now. And for whatever reason, they don't have it on ESPN.com. They list Nationals Park, Rogers Center. Oh, that's because that's this year. Okay, I see what they're doing here. I see what they're doing. So last year, Mackenzie Gore, just so we have this, was in Citizens Bank Park, a 5.25 ERA, 0-1, two games pitched, two started, 12 innings, 12 hits, 7 earned runs, a home run, and 5 walks, and 9 strikeouts. That's last year. Not horrible, horrible. Not good. In 2023, Mackenzie Gore at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia had a 15.26 ERA. 0-2, 7.2 innings pitched, 13 hits, 13 earned runs, 4 home runs, 4 walks, and 8 strikeouts.
Not good.
Not good. I need to see like they all talked about Mackenzie Gore all year long, or all offseason and all spring training. Oh, how much more mature he is. How he doesn't let bad things get to him. Da-da-da-da-da-da. First inning tonight, please do not give up 4 runs. Please do not give up a Schwarbaum and be down again 4-0 before your second turn at bat. Please, can we just give up a run? Okay, fine, happens. Philly's good lineup. That's a bandbox. Got it. Can we please not give away the game in the first inning? My guys from Talk Nats and the Nats Report, feel free to use all those stats in case you haven't done it. This is going to be a big, 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 big test for Mackenzie Gore tonight. And if he comes through with flying colors, great. That's awesome. But boy, do the Nationals need it after yesterday's disaster. Oh, baby, did that get out of hand. Now, that game wasn't that bad up until it got really bad. And I mean really bad. Like, holy moly. I listened to a bunch of the game on the radio on the way home, stuck in terrible traffic, and then I watched a bunch of the highlights, and it was just bombs away. 19-5 in favor of the Mets. Yeesh. Yeesh. Yikes. Anyway, that's the Nationals story. They need a big start there. All right, back to Shedeur Sanders. So I put this up on Twitter earlier today, X at WrestleMania621, whatever you want to call it. And I feel bad for Shedeur Sanders about the prank call. That's terrible. The fact that it came from Jeff Albrecht's son, a fraternity kid out of, I think, Ole Miss. Prank call. Apparently, they pranked a number of others. Again, supposedly Josh Connerly. Definitely the tight end Ty Warren from Penn State. Maybe some others. Who knows? But they've only publicly apologized to one player, and that's Shedeur Sanders. They need to apologize, presuming that it was the same people. I don't know for sure, but presumably it was the same people. They need to apologize to everybody else. And the NFL needs to change its process to make it more confidential, password encrypted, however that happens. That being said, I personally do not feel bad for Shedeur Sanders. He's grown up with a gold spoon in his mouth. You grow up the son of a Hall of Famer, one of the best players of all time. You're not exactly growing up in hard circumstances. Now, has he worked to get himself to be in a spot where some people, again, most notably Mel Kiper Jr., thought he was the best quarterback in the draft? I give him credit, right? He didn't have to do that. I'm sure there was an easier path. But he wanted to do that. Or he felt like he had to do that. Or he did that. But the bottom line is, just because you have some success at Colorado, and maybe it's more than some because of where they were coming from, but remember, he was playing with the Heisman Trophy winner. Remember, it's not like he went to Colorado as a true freshman, right? It's not like he went to Colorado with a different coach and a different voice in his ear. As a matter of fact, Dion had been with him since high school, right? It's not like any of that. So, again, while I give him credit, I also say, yeah, but. Do I think he deserved to be picked in the fifth round? No. Not based on what we've seen on the football field. But if I told you how many stories I've read over the last week about how put off the NFL was in general about Shedeur Sanders' attitude, and about the way he presented himself in meetings, and about the way he pretty much did everything in the pre-draft process. If I told you how many stories that I read, it would blow your mind. And I'm not reading them because I'm trying to bury Shedeur Sanders. I'm reading them because they're readily available. They're out there. Right? Let me give you an example, and then we're going to get to something. Okay? So Tom Pelissero does this yearly thing. Again, the guy works for the NFL. He's not making this up. This is before the draft, not after the draft. This is before the draft. He's giving you intel about what he's getting from pro executives, scouts, coaches who rank and evaluate the top 18 quarterback prospects in the class. Okay? Quarterbacks count the most, and that's what Tom Pelissero is providing. So he had a projection of round one for Cam Ward. He goes into a bunch of quotes, unnamed quotes, what have you. But again, you know, unless Tom Pelissero is making it up and lying, that they are coming from coaches, executives, scouts, what have you. Tom Pelissero is not lying. I can promise you that. Okay? There's some positive. There's some negative, right? He says, oh, Cam is the most talented, but he scares me a lot. He's got a long way to go before he's refined as a passer, and I see a lot of misses. Okay. That's just one comment, but I just wanted to give you that. Then there's a projection of Shedeur Sanders for rounds 1 and 2. Okay? Most people thought he would go in the first round. Not a lot of people thought round 2 until maybe a day before the draft. But that's where a lot of people thought the slide would end. Let me read you a couple of quotes from this story, because this was fascinating. A longtime NFL coach, an assistant coach, said he's got ability to throw to all three levels. He's good on the ball out, quick passing game, can move around, tough as all get out. He'll take hits, just hop up, and it doesn't really faze him. That's impressive. There's obviously things he needs to improve on, just working progressions. And he goes on and on and on. He's got a chance to be good. He's got a chance to be good. There's things that have got to improve. I think he can do it. Okay, that's from one coach. Then there's other coaches and other executives. There was an executive that said, if you look at just the wow throws, he's got probably the best collection of those over the entire whole crop. All right? He said, it's just the other stuff. It's the ability to do stuff from structure and the pocket, checkdowns, the easy gimmies. But if you want to just isolate the high level, high difficulty, degree of difficulties, then to me, there's a difference between him and the other guys. That's positive. Again, he's saying he struggles with some of the easier stuff, but he's really good at making the high end throws. Okay? So you got that. And then you've got the other stuff. His college tape looked like Caleb Williams without the elite physical arm talent. I'm sorry, you can't play that game at this level. So you've got to be banking on him making a jump from a decision-making in the pocket, on time, under pressure, where you don't have evidence of that on tape. That, to me, is why people are going to be nervous about him. He's not going to extend plays the way he did at Colorado. Nobody does, unless you're Lamar, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. He didn't even put Jaden Daniels in this. Those guys are elite athletes. He's not. So it's going to be a very different game he's asked to play. I'm not saying he can't do it, but that's where the hesitation is going to come into play. Then they talk about his lack of size. Another veteran coach says, I see him as more of a backup than... And then maybe he can develop into a fringe starter. An AFC quarterbacks coach, I think he needs to be in a specific system that caters to his skill set, which is getting the ball out quickly. I think he's got plenty of arm in the short to intermediate fields. He's pretty good. He generates pretty good zip. It kind of dies on him down the field. If you can get him to operate in the same mold that you used to see Drew Brees operate, which is being able to process what's happening post-snap and get the ball out quickly and get the ball to the right guys in a timing matter, I think that's the best approach with him. One AFC scout compared Sanders to Geno Smith with a little less arm. There are flashes of this kid having some understanding of the game coverages, which gives you some hope. The character stuff is also something that factors. From what I've seen at the East-West Shrine game and the Combine, there's definitely some entitlement and special treatment that he expects. The NFL is still a meritocracy, and you have to come in and earn it. It's a man's league, and he's going to have to do it on his own. There's other stuff in here that's way worse. If you think what I just read you is sketchy, way worse. But now, there was so much conjecture of how screwed Shedeur Sanders unfairly got. So I knew I could find somebody. I knew I could find somebody that actually agreed with me, and I guess all of these coaches, and all of these personnel evaluators and all of these guys that grind 90 hours, 100 hours a week of tape. I knew I could find somebody, right, Joy Taylor, of Fox Sports 1?
With all due respect, I don't care about quarterback evaluators. You don't know what you're talking about.
They literally don't know.
You have
know.
No idea what you're
they
talking about.
They literally do
you're
not
guessing,
know.
And sometimes you're right, and most of the time you're super wrong.
Super wrong.
They do not know how to evaluate the quarterback position. I say that with an immense
you're
amount
wrong,
of respect.
You're not wrong, but you're not wrong.
But you don't know what you're talking about. There is an insurmountable amount of evidence that you are completely clueless when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. There are so many factors that go into whether a quarterback is successful or not. And talent is really the last thing, because they're all somewhat talented. It's what organization you go to. It's the coaching. It's the development coaching that you have. It's health. It's the offensive line. It's the offensive line coach. It's the offensive coordinator. It's the defensive coordinator. It's whether you've played in that weather before. It's who your veterans are. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. It's the system that you're in. It's the skill positions that you have. It's if you have a running game. It's if the defense can stop the run so that you're not on the field all the time. The list goes on and on. So with all due respect, no one on this planet knows how to evaluate quarterbacks. Where is my camera? No one. You're all full of it. Please give me this job, because it literally is just a guess. So this whole idea that everyone's like, wow, he was going to be overdrafted. Was Brock Purdy overdrafted? Was he underdrafted? He was the last pick in the NFL draft. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He's played in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl. I don't care what any of you have to say about quarterbacks.
Twice NFC Championship game.
You don't know anything about evaluating quarterbacks. This whole thing is nonsense. Let's just look at the quarterbacks that have played, right? Number one overall picks that have played in the Super Bowl in the last 10 years. Twice in the last 10 years, there's been number one overall picks who've played against each other. Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow. And Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. That's 2015. Peyton Manning. Peyton, who's been doing television and producing movies for how many years now? Stop talking to me about these high picks and what you know about it. You don't know anything. It's all a complete crapshoot. So I don't think it's a conspiracy. I can't get that far. But please. Oh, he didn't interview well. He's not humble. I have got some news for you guys, and this is going to sound dramatic. But these kids don't care about what you're talking about anymore. They're NIL. They're coming into these leagues with millions of dollars, right, with sponsorship, with followings, with shows, with podcasts. Maybe, just maybe, these young people want to feel like they're going somewhere where their future is in the hands of someone competent. God forbid there be some accountability with these organizations. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
He was projected to go anywhere from 2 to 21, and he fell to the fifth round. Mm-hmm. Listen, God, best of luck to everyone. That's all I'm saying. Because if this goes sideways and he actually ends up being good, y'all going to have some real explaining to do. But I don't know. And guess what? You don't know either. Because if I go down this list and I look at the guys who've been drafted number one overall, where's my list? Hold on. Let's just look at the quarterbacks that have been drafted number one over the past 10 years. Cam Ward, obviously, we have no idea what he's going to be. Caleb Williams, we don't know what Caleb's going to do. Bryce Young. Bryce Young. Do we know what Bryce Young? Trevor Lawrence, has he won a playoff game yet? No.
Keep going.
Okay. Joe Burrow, success story. Kyler Murray.
Keep
okay.
going.
Okay. Baker Mayfield, won some playoff games. Not playing for his original team. He's on his fourth team now, by the way. And Jared Goff, let's consider that a success story as well. You don't know what you're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. That was Joy Taylor of FS1. Now that's the sister of Jason Taylor, Hall of Famer. And her nephew, Jason Taylor's son, just got drafted by the Jets. So you'd like to think that she has some idea about how football works. Except she doesn't. While she makes a couple of decent points, that it is really hard to evaluate quarterbacks, and that top-tier quarterbacks have not had a ton of success. And guys like Brock Purdy and obviously Tom Brady, and you can go down the list to others, have had better success than their draft slots should have said they should have had. Where Joy Taylor is completely off the rocker is to say that they don't know anything because a player that gets drafted, who plays 20, 15, 30, 35 games in college football against 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, that you are incompetent at your job, that you don't know anything about your job, evaluating quarterbacks, because he then struggles against the very, very, very best in the world and against men that are 21, 22, 23, 26, 28, 30 years old.
With a bunch of variables, too, as she pointed out.
With a lot of variables, such as where you go, who your coach is, all of that, play calling, all of that. Again, I would say this. The track record of quarterback evaluation specifically, yeah, is not very good. Is not very good overall. There is, if you follow the NFL, even the very best of the very best are like 50% success rate in terms of hitting, in terms of who they're drafting, in terms of who they're signing. Like, even Adam Peters has made countless mistakes. In San Francisco, where he didn't have full power, he's made some mistakes. Here in Washington, he hasn't made egregious blunders, but maybe he will. Maybe Josh Connerly will be completely overmatched. Who knows? He got it right, it certainly seems, on Jaden Daniels. But that doesn't mean that Adam Peters would evaluate every quarterback the right way because, and again, he didn't have full power, but he had significant input, significant say in Trey Lance, and they butchered that in San Francisco. The same guy with Kyle Shanahan, with John Lynch. You know why? Because it ain't about who's doing the evaluating. It's about doing who's doing the playing. And that's the problem. You can evaluate from now until kingdom come. It means nothing, ultimately. Evaluation is one step in the process. The actual playing, the actual execution is way, 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 way more important than the evaluation. More on Shedeur Sanders when we return.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks. And get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we're rocking and rolling towards 4 o'clock. We've, of course, gotten into this Shedeur Sanders stuff, right? Because it was the story of the draft. I mean, there are people that I've seen on social media, fans, media people. Mel Kiper is just enraged at people. Like, get over yourself. You weren't in any of these meetings. You weren't in any of these interviews. You have no idea how Shedeur carried himself, how he presented himself, how he talked, how he answered questions. And you heard Joy Taylor there talk about, you know, get over yourselves. Your kids are looking for somebody to believe in because they have NIL money. No. It may be a very different world, but it doesn't give you the right to act like a complete jackass. If you act like Jaden Daniels, people are going to love you. If you act like Shedeur Sanders apparently acted, people are going to draft you in the fifth round. Let me give you another couple of anonymous quotes from Tom Pelissero's pre-draft column. Quote, the dude's only played for his dad. When things go wrong, it's not his fault. He takes a sack, he blames the O-line. Said an offensive coordinator in the AFC. Think about that. He can make the throws. He's got good accuracy, but does he lock in on number one and home in on him? And does the offense tailor for him to read it out? That's a little complicated jargon, but whatever. Then about the Deion factor. You can't have your dad say, I'm going to come put a quarterback coach on blast who said you were arrogant. So he can't be criticized, a veteran NFL executive said, an NFC executive said. It seems like his teammates like him. They back him even with all the limelight stuff and going to a different car to the game. It seems like they back him more. Yeah, they play for his dad. They saw what his dad is going to do to people. Of course you're not going to criticize Shedeur. One NFC scouting director who had done extensive background check work on Sanders summarized it this way. Quote, when you hear all the anecdotal stories about the person, it's not that he's a bad kid. He has been so insulated. It's going to be a culture shock when he really learns how a locker room operates and how it really works inside a building. He's had so much input on the offensive game plan and who the coach is, and everything's been catered to him. When you walk into one of these NFL buildings, no one's going to give a bleep about that. No one cares who your dad is. You're going to have to end up fighting through some adversity. The plays aren't going to be called to exactly what you want to run. Even last year with Shermer, a lot of the mistakes he made was stuff that he just decided to call at the line of scrimmage himself. And there's no recourse of him making those decisions. Whereas in a real locker room, you make a couple of those decisions, you get your ass ripped so bad that you never want to do it again. I mean, there's more. But I suppose we shouldn't believe these guys because they're anonymous quotes. Right? That's what a lot of you say. Oh, put your name behind it, big tough guy. That's not how it works. You'll never get this stuff. You'll never get this stuff if you make people attribute their quotes, their feelings, on the record. You'll never get this. Why? Because it's a bad look, to be honest, sometimes. And if Shador's being honest, and that's just the way he is, and that's the way he wants to operate, that's a bad look, too. Because guess what? People don't always want honesty. They don't want bold. They don't want brash. They don't want cocky. They don't want arrogant. And sometimes they don't want the truth. Sometimes they just want humble. They want you to eat not just a slice of humble pie. They want you to eat the whole damn thing. And Shador seems to be anything but. Time for a quick trending alert, and then we'll come back, wrap up the show next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders have made it official as we started the show earlier today. They've signed Matt Gay, who has let go 2 years into a four-year, $22 million deal with the Indianapolis Colts. The place kicker won a Super Bowl with the LA Rams before signing that deal with Indianapolis. It did not work out, especially from 50-plus over the last couple years. He was dealing with a hernia injury. He was only 82.1% overall with the Colts over the last 2 years, but only 11 of 22 from 50 yards or longer. They've also released Zane Gonzalez as a corresponding move. Meanwhile, George Kittle has signed a four-year extension with the San Francisco 49ers, $76.5 million. Looks like Jaire Alexander might be able to stay with the Green Bay Packers, despite seemingly the writing on the wall for that one. NBA, the Sacramento Kings, finalizing a deal for interim head coach Doug Christie to become their new official head coach. Sacramento eliminated in the play-in bracket tonight. NBA playoffs, Milwaukee, Indiana with the Pacers up 3-1. And, of course, Milwaukee without Damian Lillard for the rest of the playoffs and into next year. The Knicks look to eliminate the Pistons. They're up 3-1, 7:30 there. 8:30, the Boston Celtics look to end the Orlando Magic season in Boston. And at 10 o'clock, it's Denver and the Clippers tied at 2-2. Nationals, Mackenzie Gore start a series in Philadelphia against the Phillies at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. And that's what's trending.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, 21 minutes until the top of the hour, about 18 minutes or so left in the radio program. Still have Dumb Dumb of the Day. And no, it's not me. So you thought I was going to say you, AMAC, but no, I would never do such a thing.
Now I'm nervous.
It's not you. It's not me.
I've escaped another week. I feel like one day it's going to be me. I'll embrace it.
What would you do that would make you qualify for Dumb Dumb of the Day?
I think the easier, like, we don't have enough show time to answer that question.
Now, you are a fine, upstanding young man. I mean, you're a hard worker. You know, you wear your debonair glasses so that you look more polished than you probably are.
Second glasses reference today.
It's just, you know, something that stands out. It's just something that, you know, your face lights up, effervescence, something like that.
I need to clip that and send that to my girlfriend.
Well, I'm sure she knows these things. She doesn't need me to say these things. If she needs me to say these things, then you're really in trouble. Did you love or hate the Giants draft?
I liked it. I'm excited to see Abdul. Don't know about Jackson Dart.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the draft was exactly what it needed to be. Interior linemen, interior defense and offensive linemen. Really like Cam Scataboo.
Mm-hmm.
Him paired with Tyrone Tracy, I think, will be a great backfield for us. But, yeah, I still think it's a lot of questions with the team moving forward. You know, you talked earlier about, like, being patient and seeing how these picks play out for people. And I think there's a lot of that with all of our picks. Like, I still think Abdul Carter, as much as people love him,
mm-hmm.
there, when you look at him on film, there's a lot of room to grow.
There is no doubt. And there should be.
Yeah.
Nobody should be a finished product entering the NFL. Nobody should be. And what's going to be interesting to me is to see how the Giants defensively operate early on in the season, assuming that Brian Burns and assuming that Kayvon Thibodeau are healthy, and how whether they use Abdul Carter in just certain packages, whether they use all three of them, whether they play a, like, remember when the Giants last were really good and won a Super Bowl, the NASCAR package,
yeah,
where they kicked a bunch of defensive ends slash edges inside, mm-hmm. and they blew you-know-what up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's going to be really interesting to me. And I agree, like, Scataboo, I did not like as much as others, but to get him in the fourth round helps. Again, I try and look at everything holistically or realistically and say, I didn't love him early in the second round, but in the fourth round, sure, absolutely. Take a shot. What do you got to lose? And Darius Alexander, I've heard a lot of good things about. That Toledo program is interesting because, remember, they generated Quinyon Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
who went first-round pick Eagles last year.
Yeah.
Darius Alexander now, all right, went pick one of the third round, but he was supposed to, I think, go in the second round. And maybe there's another that program has generated that I can't remember. But anyway, so I kind of like that, especially – you know, because, I mean, quite honestly, like, we don't know how, what's-his-name is going to be, Dexter Lawrence is going to be coming off the pretty significant injury. We just don't know, right? Just don't know. So I like, you know, kind of getting some help in there. And Jackson Dart, obviously, will probably be, well, I shouldn't say obviously, will probably be how this draft class ultimately gets graded. Because I assume Abdul Carter will be good to very good. Maybe he'll be a phenom. Maybe he'll be great. I don't know if that's what you're going to get. But if Jackson Dart becomes their starter for 10 years, draft class is a home run. That's all there is to it. Right? Because they haven't had that stability since Eli's prime. Now you have really no pressure on the kid. Because right now you have Russell Wilson and you have Jameis Winston. And even Tommy DeVito. Now, what'll be interesting is, I mean, I assume he would beat out Tommy DeVito. And they would just carry three quarterbacks on the active roster and have one down on game day, Jackson Dart. To start, I would assume he beats out DeVito, but I guess they could carry four active quarterbacks if they really wanted to. Yeah. That'll be interesting to see.
I think if, like, the plan is perfect, Jackson Dart would not see the field at all.
So people are going to say that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Because how, if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and you're fighting for your own job security, how could you draft somebody and trade up for somebody that the plan,
mm-hmm.
is to not see the field in that 1 year that you're not even guaranteed that whole year?
that's why I say it, things have to go well. Like, if for me as a fan, I think that 7 games is pushing it. So let's say they win 8 games and they're able to keep their job. Russell Wilson is gone. You have Jackson Dart then to step in. He had a year to learn the offense, year to work under Brian Daboll. Hopefully they got his mechanics, his reads, his progressions, and all of that right. He comes in and steps in and takes over the offense and then takes them over that hump. Sees 9 or 10 games the following year.
What if 8 wins isn't enough for them to save their job?
I mean, whatever it is.
Because I think 8 wins would be enough maybe to keep their job if Jackson Dart is part of the reason why they got to 8 wins. You know what I'm saying? Then you could say, well, we're showing progress. We're making progress. Look at what we have here. Like, if he plays in December and into early January and they come up maybe just short. But if you want to keep him under wraps, which I understand, you want him to develop, learn, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be enough to save their jobs, and then he's got to learn another offense without really having to play much.
See, I'm not a whole believer of like throwing somebody in just to save your job. Like if you're throwing a rookie quarterback into the game, I think your job's lost already. Mm-hmm. That it's hard for me to find a circumstance where that isn't the case.
You're saying if Jackson Dart plays this year.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Daboll's problem and Joe Shane have arguably, if not absolutely, lost their job. They've arguably lost their job already.
Yeah, because that in my mind, Russ would have to be playing terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, from the fans' perspective, it's like, okay, Jackson Dart is coming in. Why didn't he start in the beginning of the year? You're already in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you want Russell to be that bridge guy and say, hey, we're going in the right direction, and we have somebody that we believe in can be our quarterback. Just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives you the extra year to have Jackson Dart step in and then improve from that 8-win.
You know what I would love?
What's that?
Just one of these situations, and we'll use the Giants specifically, but I'll extend it to the Cleveland Browns, right? Because we were talking about Shedeur Sanders. And Shedeur Sanders is battling Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, the Oregon quarterback, what's his name?
Dillon Gabriel.
Dillon Gabriel. And I guess at some point, maybe, Deshaun Watson. But for right now, he's battling those 4 guys, right? I would love, this is me, to see Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart beat out all of these incumbents in training camp, in the preseason. Just like, remember what happened to Russell Wilson when he was a rookie in 2012 in Seattle? They had signed Matt Flynn to a big free agent deal. Then, I think like 6 years, $40 million, which was big, for a career backup, but who had a couple of starts in Green Bay. And everybody thought he had the job, right? Because they signed him to the big money deal. And Russell Wilson, as a rookie, granted, an older rookie, beat him out for the job and started week one and never looked back. I would love for one or both, Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders, to take the ball and run in training camp, the offseason program, preseason, and start week one. I would love that, just to see how ready they are. Just to see how prepared they are, just to see if they can will their team to be competitive and maybe more than competitive. And I would guess both teams have a chance.
Well, for the Giants,
have a chance if they get competent quarterback play.
For the Giants, Daboll has already said Russell is the guy. Now, in Cleveland, that's. You know, there's
right.
They're calling for Deshaun's head.
Right.
So I think one of those two quarterbacks has a chance.
Yes.
But if Jackson Dart is announced week one, my excitement, you're not going to be able to hear enough of me. Like, I'm going to be super excited because that shows that his projection is that, like, they projected him lower than they imagined. So if he's announced week one, Oh, boy.
I think he got picked just about the right spot. Just about. I mean, I'm not a huge Jackson Dart fan at the end of games. I think he's a little bit of a roller coaster, a little bit too much of a gunslinger, a little bit too inconsistent, what have you, for my liking. But I'm also understanding that he's going to get big-time pro coaching. He's going to get better just as he gets more and more and more and more and more experience, you think. Now, of course, there's no guarantee that he can get better because you're playing against much better talent, but presumably some of those advantages will equal out that, if not exceed it, and he can continue to grow. I say, all right, if the coach says, you know, such and such is the starter, I know Dable, I understand that. I would just say this, if Jackson Dart is so clearly better, wouldn't be the first coach to change his mind. But the difference is he's got to be clearly better. And the players have to see it, and the coaching staff has to see it, and Joe Shane has to see it, and everyone has to see it. The world has to see it, right? Because it can't be like an even par thing. It has to be bigger than even par. All right, when we return, we'll wrap it up. Dumb Dumb of the Day next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman, you know what time it is before we say goodbye. Listen, I don't want to get involved in anybody's relationships. I certainly don't want anybody involved in mine. This Jordan Hudson is way too much. She has got to go. She is ruining Bill Belichick. While she has made him a different kind of Bill Belichick, probably for some reasons that we shouldn't talk about on the radio, while she has made him in some ways a more cooler BB, you saw what she did with this CBS interview. She apparently interjected and stormed off like 10 different times. She wouldn't let them ask about how they met. The interview was an interview about the book, which was about Bill's football life. So yesterday he wrote a big long letter, mad that all the headlines and CBS used, quote, "I bleeped up" as clickbait for their story and for promotion of the book and interviews and podcasts and all this stuff. And Bill just wants it to be a serious look at his football life, his football journey. But he's also willing to do whatever he's got to do to sell the book, to promote the book without him being intricately involved. He says he's gone along with the title, the cover, and the language in the book. I'm not going to be a conductor of the hype train in the book promotion. We have enough hype to work with. I want to promote the book authentically. Bill, if you want to promote the book authentically, you don't have your 24-year-old little bimbo girlfriend running the show. It's that simple. She is making your life a mess. You do you, man. You be authentically you, not her. Don't ever, ever, ever let the temptations that one might have completely take control of your life. Thanks to AMAC on the other side of the glass. Thanks to you guys on the phones. Thanks to all the guests who joined us who were absolutely none. Can't get an email response back from anybody. We'll try again tomorrow at 1. We'll try and do better next time. See you then on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.